the word that we're going to have for the message this morning. Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never be thirsty again. The water I give them will be a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Water itself, it's very common, isn't it? Very common, very simple. H2O, right? Yet, how vital it is. They say you can go 30, 40 days without food. I don't know how, but you could. But 3 days without water is enough. Was a guy who felt really, really sick. He found himself struggling even to walk, get up and get around. So he went to the doctor, and he told the doctor of his sickness and his troubles, and the doctor said, "I have a regimen that's just perfect for you. When you get up in the morning, I've got a green pill here for you, and I want you to take this with a couple glasses of water." Then he said, "Later on in the morning, I want you to take this blue pill, again, with some water to wash it down. It may take a couple of glasses. Around lunchtime, there's an orange pill that I'm going to give you. And again, make sure you wash that down, get it right down into your system, at least a couple of glasses of water. Later on in the day, I've got a red pill here for you. Take that. Right around dinner time, make sure you get plenty of water with it. And then, before you go to bed at night, I got a white one. Make sure you take this with a couple glasses of water." And the guy got nervous. He looked at all the pills that he was supposed to take. And he said about those pills, he said, "What's the diagnosis, doctor? What's wrong with me?" The doctor looked him in the eye and said, "You're dehydrated. You want me to give you the punchline again? You're dehydrated. Wasn't about the pills. It's all about the water." Our bodies need water, don't they? No doubt about that. Our bodies need water, but the message today is so do our hearts. Throughout the Bible, the water is a sign of what God is doing in our lives. Have you noticed that? Throughout the Bible, water is used as a sign for what God's doing in our lives. In fact, and I know we don't use the new hymnal here, but I still use that rite in baptism. And we have this prayer, and it goes this way: "Noah and his family escaped all the evil of his day through the flood waters, thus blessing the water of our baptism." And it goes on to say, "And the Israelites escaped hard-hearted Pharaoh through the flood of the Red Sea, making all water a flood and lavish washing away of our sin." Did you know that when you found water in the Bible, the thought there, the symbol behind it, just may be for us to see that God loves us. And water is a sign and symbol of how He's going to love us. In fact, I often think when I look back into the Garden of Eden and I think of water there, was water first supposed to be for them to drink? Or was water first for them to enjoy for washing? Communion with God. Do you remember this guy? Call him Ponce de Leon. His story. He was a discoverer. He was even an inventor. But he became unhappy with life. and chasing after power and fame, riches. In his memoirs, he says, "I thirst for something better and more fulfilling." So he left his search for earthly wealth and power and fame because he heard a story throughout the Caribbean about a fountain of flowing water that would bring youth. Youth with all of its energy and vitality, hopes and dreams. So he went in search of it, but he never found it. In fact, they say in southern Florida, he was shot by an Indian's arrow that had been dipped in poison. He never got his water. How sad is that? A thirst for something more, down deep in the spirit, reflected by a need for water. To quench the spirit, not the throat. I think there comes a time in every man's life, and it has in mine, and maybe you've gotten there too, where trying to get more things and more stuff, more entertainment, more pleasure, to get noticed by others, seems to be immaterial and kind of goes away as senselessness. There's a thirst, you know it won't fill. The writer of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon, got to that point too. And he wrote, "I have seen all the things that are done under the sun and the things that people have accumulated. But it's all meaningless, a chasing after the wind." And I think that's where we are in our culture today. A chasing after the wind, trying to find some sort of stability in life, joy and happiness, a sense of purpose, stuff and pleasure and wealth. But it only reflects one thing, and we all get to know this after time. Life is flawed. Life is damaged. It's often painful, isn't it? It's here today and gone tomorrow. In the words of Kansas, all we are is dust in the wind. And so each of us goes on a quest for a holy grail, don't we? Do you remember this movie, the same name, In Search of the Holy Grail? Indiana Jones's father was shot, and he's laying there. They don't know if he's going to die or not. So Indiana Jones goes and finds the Holy Grail and puts into it this water of eternal life and brings it out to his father. And at this point, his father says, "The Holy Grail is nothing more than finding our purpose and meaning in life, to be content and at peace with who we are and what we're doing." As good Lutherans, we would often say, it's not about the cup. It's about what's in the cup. And God's word that is there, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Christians have learned this, that we need water for the body, but how much more do we need water for the soul? True joy, living it with life and vitality, can only be done in, with, and under the Savior. Sin is our unmaking. All around, it's complete. And inside, it's complete. And it makes us thirsty. Sin is that thirst. We want our lives to be more, to be filled with God. God calls to us. And we would love to answer. But we need to drink life-giving water. The water that only God can give and does give through His Son, Jesus Christ. That we might repent with faith in Christ and the Holy Spirit there, willing to go forth new people, enjoying the never-ending saga of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. I just want to take you back to the Old Testament for a moment because it reveals so much about what I'm talking about today. I don't know if you know this story, but the Israelites, God's people, were on a journey, a trying journey through the wilderness. And it shouldn't have taken them that long, but it ended up taking them 40 years because it was really a journey of faith, trusting in God through Moses, who is a type of Christ to come, as we're supposed to trust in God through Jesus. They were without water. They were very thirsty at the point of death, and God told Moses, go strike the rock. And when you strike this rock, water will gush forth. It'll be the rock of your salvation. Moses struck it, and out came life-giving water. But the people really didn't get the point. And because they didn't get the point, they just got worse. More and more unhappy. They turned away from the Lord. Their lives fell apart. You know what? We have something more sure than that rock. We have Christ and His cross. We have something to fill our thirst that has its complete meaning for us. The rock, who is Christ, has been struck on the cross for us, and outflows His blood, which pours upon us, washes away our sin. Our lives are protected by that blood, and they're guaranteed eternal life to come. And so we go to the woman at the well who said to Jesus, you know, Jesus, you need water. You don't even have a bucket. Do you realize how deep this well is? And Jesus says to her, anybody with that bucket in this well and drinks is going to get thirsty again. And they're going to have to keep coming back to this well, which, of course, didn't really make that woman happy. First of all, she was a woman among men at the well with a lot of problems. Not least of was the way that she felt about her life and the direction it had gone. And so the woman replies, sir, I would like to have some of that water, so that I don't have to get thirsty and come back to this well anymore. I can stay in Samaria, and I don't have to be punished by others. The way they look at me and talk about me, the way they feel about me. It's quite a dialogue. Lots been said of it, but it really comes down to this. Jesus came for a drink of water. Yet it was the woman who really got her thirst quenched. That's really the point of it. You see, the conversation isn't really about the water in the well. It's about the living water that Christ only can give. The woman's life was a mess. Jesus knew it. Jesus could see right through to her heart. She came for a bucket of water, but she got a bucket of truth instead. Jesus told her, go and get your husband. She answered, I don't have one. And Jesus replied, you're right. You've been married 5 times. The one you're with now is not your husband. And that was troubling to her. It was troubling to others around as well. The woman wasn't whole. She wasn't complete. There wasn't love, abiding love, for her or in her. And see, that's the question. What about love? That's what she needs the most. Her whole life, I suppose, she's been looking for her prince in shining armor. Never found him until now. Christ the Lord comes before her with living water that'll give her a never-ending love. Though it may not be the kind of love we get in marriage, it's a better love, a love that completes us and makes us whole. Give me that water that I might drink and not be thirsty again. She needs a Savior. And Christ is it. So the woman says, "Are you a prophet? Who is this Messiah to come?" And Jesus gets down to brass tacks. "I am He. I'm the one." That changed her life. The rest of the story goes like this. She goes into town and she says to the people, "I have found the Christ. I found the one. The one who has promised to come and grant our people life. And life eternal." Could this be the Messiah? And I think that's the question we're left with today. Could this be the Messiah? We need to answer that question, folks. In this world where we're dealing with so many tough questions, you know, the polarization of politics, the situation of healthcare and immigration, the economy, divorce and the environment, unemployment and education, gun control and violence, and I could go on and on and on. Everybody wants the truth, desires it, and some even think they have it. What would happen if we could answer this question in the affirmative? Could this be the Messiah, this Christ, the living water? Then we could go out with those questions we have and deal with them differently. If this is the Christ, how does that change our lives? But first of all, we have to drink, don't we? And that's why we're here today, to hear the story and know that the living water is flowing freely for us, that we might be able to confront that question. Could this be the Messiah? And say within our hearts, yes, because the Holy Spirit is there and at work. Yes, because God is real and loves you and doesn't want to leave your heart empty. Go to Him, my message to you today. Go to Him. Don't go with a bucket, but go with your heart. Let Him fill you up with living water always flowing, that the joy of your salvation would be complete and your lives would be forever changed. Go and be refreshed, my friends. Amen.